This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Defeating discouragement. Defeating discouragement. Overcoming discouragement. There are three keys to overcoming discouragement this morning. Even in the worst of times, we can overcome discouragement as we learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I want to talk to you about three keys. I don't know if I'll get to all of them. To overcoming discouragement. Let's look at 1 John 4:4 and 5:4. I don't have it written down. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the evil in the world, the spirits that are not of God, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Chapter 5, verse 4, same book. For whatever is born of God, say that's me, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We learned yesterday in Fresno that we need the coming, or Wednesday, we need the coming of faith and the word and his presence. We need them to mesh together. It's not just presence. It's not just word. It's the word and faith and his presence together. Amen. And so God has given us the tools to be, everybody say, I am an overcomer. And discouragement literally just means to not be encouraged. And so we need to have the opposite of it in everyday life. Some of what I'll share, many of you already know, but you need to be reminded. Because I found out that every time I praise him, I get new insights. And every time I praise him, the same thing that worked last year or last week or last month, it still works today. Because he never changes. He's always doing something fresh. And he'll do things that are new. And he'll change his methods. But he and his heart and his principles never change. The first key to defeating discouragement in your everyday is a Godward mindset. Everybody say, a Godward mindset. A mind that's focused on God. Having a Godward mindset means focusing your mind towards him. David, King David, the psalmist David, was a master at that skill. The book of Psalms has 150 individual songs, and 73 of them are attributed to David. 73 worship songs. 73 songs of praise. 73 songs of declaring his power, his glory, his goodness, his faithfulness. 73 psalms of declaring his covenant, even when the issues around him seem to defy any kind of solution. David, he started off complaining, but he always ended up in his covenant. What is his covenant? He always ended up quoting back to God what God already said about David. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am the God that healeth thee. The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. These things, David always kept speaking his covenant. Can you say amen? He had an ability to worship. He wrote many of the songs during the most difficult times in his life, which is why they are so comforting and encouraging to those of us who are going through problems and trials today. Nothing ministers to my heart more than the book of Psalms, especially when I'm going through a tough time. David's songs share his secret of staying encouraged, even in troubling times. Again, O Lord, again, O Lord. I hear him speak in the first 8 Psalms. How long, O Lord, how long? How can I lay on this bed of tears and die and be of any use to you? And he would complain and groan because it was long, it was arduous, and it kept coming. Let me tell you something. When you're in the kingdom, you're going to have problems. You're going to have attacks. But the thing you need to focus on is not the attack, but that you're going to win. I said, you're going to battle, but you're going to win. I said, you're going to fight, but you're going to win. And David was a master at turning his problem and focusing on it and saying, no, I focus on the solution. I focus on the one who can heal the solution, bring the solution. And that was the difference between David, the failure, and David, the ruler. David, the adulterer, and David, the son. We're going to find out. It's not your perfection. It is the desire to be like God once you've realized he never is going to leave you. He always is going to love you. And he's never going to be to the place where he's not fully enamored with you. We'll talk about that in a minute. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Psalm 16:8. I'm going to say it again. I have set the Lord always before me. You mean like this? Lord, come down here. No. We don't order around God. But how do you get him to set before you? It means he manifests before me. And then he's at my hand, my right hand. And when God's at your right hand, he has the hand of power for you in every situation. So he says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I cannot lose. I will not be displaced. I will not be destroyed. I will not lose my destiny. I will not. Somebody say amen. How do you do that? I'll tell you how you do that. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. How do I get God to sit before me? Hallelujah. I praise him for who he is. I praise him for what he already did. When things look black and it looks like everything's going down the tubes, I don't care how hard it gets. If you can't open your mouth, even with a whisper to begin with, and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Holy, holy, holy. If you can begin to thank him for everybody, say anything. It begins to change the situation. He comes, he manifests, he's enthroned on the praises of his people. It's as if the angel of the Lord comes down, you're being harassed and attacked. He pulls his sword, turns and looks at them and says, who is this that comes against the son and daughter of God? You get him on the scene by praising him. David knew that praise was a weapon. A weapon. And he used that weapon. And he changed his focus through praise. You can change your focus through praise. That is a Godward mindset. The devil, on the other hand, wants you to have a godless mindset. He wants you to see the giants. He wants you to see only the mountains and the problems. He does not want you to see God. You're going to see the giants. You're going to see the mountains. But you cannot focus on them. All you need to do, my mother wrote a prophecy before she died. She says, lift up your eyes, lift up your head, and look towards God, from whom comes your strength. The moment you set your eyes on Jesus, you know how you set your eyes on Jesus? Through your mouth. Through your mouth. Your focus has to come through your mouth. I praise you. I praise you. You know, when you're talking to someone and then all of a sudden somebody else comes in and you start talking to them, you can't be in both places at once. I want you to look at me. Who are you going to talk to when it's ugly? You can focus on the ugly or you can focus on the beauty of the Lord, the power of the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, I will give you beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. It's a crown. It's a diadem. It's a turban. It literally means I will come and set on your mind and you'll not have the mind of a minion and a defeated foe. You'll have the mind of a ruler and a king. Hallelujah. You put on my word. You put on my words and put them out your mouth. I sit upon you and I change your thinking. I change your focus and you start ruling and reigning instead of cowering and running. Say, I am a Godward thinker. Hallelujah. When the Philistine giant Goliath taunted the Israelite army, all the trained soldiers literally shook in their boots. But David showed up, the shepherd boy. He was only a boy with a slingshot. But he looked directly at the giant and said this, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I, now, though, hey, when a 10-foot, whatever, I think it was about 9 or 10 feet tall, guy with a sword that weighs more than my grandchild, with a sword, a javelin, a spear, that's formidable. But Here's what David said. You come to me trying to get me to see your sword, your javelin. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Did you see that? He wants you to look at the sword, the javelin. So he said, no. I look to the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I come in his name. Hey, look. You see what I'm saying? The focus is not here. It's get that giant to look up there. Hallelujah. Because what's up there is coming down here, and it's going to take care of you. Say focus. David, now hear this. Write this down. David saw God in everything. Oh, well, sure, he saw God. No. You didn't get it. It's too easy to look at the everything instead of God. I'm here to tell you and remind you this morning that God wants your focus to always be on him. The default is not on the problem. The default is on him. If we do not see him in our circumstances, we will find ourselves completely overwhelmed. Let's look at Psalms 59. The king, Saul, was trying to kill David, but that did not stop David from worshiping God. Worship follows praise. Praise declares who God is and what he's done and what he's going to do. Say, testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If you testify, it will bring the prophetic into the situation. When you testify, the word testimony means do again. And when you testify of what Jesus has already done, see, when you take your focus off what's against you and focus on who is for you and what he's already done, and you start saying what he's already done. Come on, somebody. Oh, you know what? When I get sick and I get attacked, I got attacked this week, and I started wobbling and going this way and that way, and you know the words out of my mouth? I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the healed of the Lord. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus. 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 And I just kept walking. You know why? I got my focus off the problem and on the healer of the problem. Hallelujah. It's the enemy's desire that we look only on the problem. David saw God in everything. Deliver me. Deliver me from my enemies, oh my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. And save me from the bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake, awake. See, now he's going, he's telling him the problem. Now he says, Lord, awake, awake to me. And behold, Lord, you, Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I wait for you, O you, my strength, for God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do you see what I'm saying? Again and again, I'm surrounded, Lord. Look, I didn't deserve this. This came to me. Or let's go the inverse of that. I do deserve that. Listen, if you messed up, you're still God's child. David messed up and he said, oh, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Are you listening? I don't care whether you're good or you're not good. You focus on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You talk your covenant. You see what he did? The problem surrounded me. He said, but you're my God. You're my defender. Oh, somebody help me. You're the one who's going to take care of my enemies. The moment you start doubting that you've got access to that is the moment you've listened and focused on the wrong source. I don't deserve it. I haven't prayed enough. You could never deserve it, and you could never pray enough, because you are not going to be perfect. We don't have to be constantly defiled and sinning. But when we fall, God says, I don't disown you. You just rise up. Look to me. Are you listening to me? When my grandchildren were little, They're the apple of my eye. And when they came to me, sat on my lap, and went, Papa, I love you. They can have anything they want. Papa, I'm going to drive your truck. Come on, boy. Oh, you think I'm kidding, don't you? Avon is the only child I know of that drove a Ford F-150 at the age of 3. I happened to be sitting there, but he was driving. But there have been times when they crawled up in my lap and they had diapers that were not full of, you know, good things. It was, oh my God. It was a near-death experience, if you really want to know the truth. Hallelujah. But you know what? I didn't throw him away. I didn't slap her away. I said, Papa loves you, baby. Gigi, come change this diaper. But lo and behold, there were some times I fell into the grandpa trap when all the women left me with the children. I had 3 of them. Ava wasn't here yet. But Braylon did a job and a number at McDonald's. Hey, Papa. Came here, Papa. I said, what? He goes, oh. I go, oh. I looked around, nobody there. Jesus, that son of David, have mercy on me. I ain't going in that bathroom. What's in that diaper is not as bad as what's in that bathroom. So I did what any grandfather would do. I picked him up and took him to the truck. And we somehow made it through it. I changed that diaper, and there it was a mess. Just let me say this. When I got through, I had to disinfect my truck because I never did that before, and I wasn't too neat and too tight, and things got everywhere. It is just bad. I knew it was bad because Avery goes, after a while, he's sitting there, he's going, Papa. I said, what, boy? He says, that was a bad one. Braylon's sitting there going, mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. It was funny. And Ari's going, phew. But you know, funny thing is, I didn't throw him out of the truck. When you got a mess in your life and you got diapers that stink like crap, you can get right up in the lap of your father and he's not going to turn you away. Go ahead, give him praise, because everybody has had a mess sometime in their life. Hallelujah. Say, I am not discouraged. Hallelujah. Surrounded, David, by danger, began to worship. Oh God. David's mindset allowed him to keep his focus on God, even in the worst circumstances. Oh God, my strength, I trust you to defend my life. Your mercy will cover me. When my kid says, Papa, my ears know. How many of you mothers, when your kid, there can be 10 kids out there, but when your kid screams and it's, I'm hurt, you know it's yours. I've seen it. One kid, oh, it's more than just screaming to have fun, because kids like to scream. I don't know what it is. They scream when they're happy. They scream when they're not happy. They do a lot of screaming. And if you get all 3 of them in a truck and they scream at once, you need Jesus. It's a mess. I've seen them. The mothers around there, and one child will scream. I mean, a curdling. I hurt myself. And the others just keep talking. And the other one, boom, gone. Your father knows your voice. He never misses out an opportunity to protect and to heal and what I would call rescue you. Has anybody ever been rescued by your father? Hallelujah. David reminded himself, God is bigger than my giants. He is bigger than my mountains. He is bigger than my enemies. He is bigger than my problems. The worst thing you can do is to forget that God is with you. Say it. David saw God in everything. Would you say that, please? He didn't see the everything. He saw God in the midst of the everything. Say, focus. What happens when you keep your mind on God? You have an instant encouragement flow into your life and a new perspective. Gobbler mindset affects every part of your life. Instead of seeing a big devil in everything, you begin to see a big God in everything. In that everything, I see God. God gets bigger and problems get smaller. You develop increased faith and decreased worries and fears. The amount of worship that you do, the amount you worship and focus on God will always have a direct effect on the peace level that's in your life versus fear level. Did you get that? I don't care how scared you are, if you'll begin to open your mouth and just say, Jesus, I praise you. It begins to change your perspective. I can't call on the name of Jesus and faith not rise. Anybody ever been in a car wreck and the only thing you said was, Jesus! And the car went, phew. I don't know how we survived, but I know the angels took over. Anybody, is that just me or anybody else? Praise is a weapon. Praise is protection. Praise makes you a ruler and not a defeated foe. Praise. Focus. Focus on the God who said that if I did it once, I'll do it again. You want that covenant? He was saying, look, I make a covenant with you. Would you praise me? I'll come on the scene. Would you praise me and say what I've done? I'll do it again. That's the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of what Jesus has done brings what Jesus has done to bear again. Hallelujah. God's word, our two-edged sword, according to Hebrews 4:12, is powerful. And with it, this two-edged sword, the word of God, we go into battle against the enemy. Praise is one of the most powerful weapons against discouragement. David didn't let circumstances keep him from praising his God. He chose to praise God in the middle of the problems, in the middle of the problems. That was his secret to encouraging himself in the Lord. No one's going to encourage you at times. There's some times when you have to encourage yourself. And when you go through that crisis, you'll come out knowing, hey, I'm not alone ever. Laying on a hospital gurney when they're about to check me for cancer, I realized I'd gone as far as I could go. I was alone, but I wasn't alone. Because I sensed the presence of the Lord move into that little cubicle. And I knew, it just as surely as he manifested and held me in his arms and said, I'm here. And the last thing I remember says, I see things in here, but they're not cancerous. And I lofted off to sleep. When the news isn't good, it can still be that God is with you. And you need to focus all the more on him. And whatever say, what he did before, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. And the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. You know, we need to dwell on what he's already done. We need to testify of what Jesus has done. Has anybody got anything that Jesus has done for you? Yeah, but. I was really close to God then. So you got a poopy diaper, huh? Crawl right back up into his lap. Run to him, not from him. Call on him with confidence. As Damon said yesterday, he's just as enamored with you when your diaper's a mess as he is when you're clean and spotless. Is he happy you've fallen? No, but he doesn't reject you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, I'm out of time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, me and you would hang around, Jerome, but I don't think the rest of them would. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61:3. To console those who mourn in Zion is why I have come. That's spoken of the Messiah. And then Jesus prophesies it and quotes it in the book of Luke. To console, I've come to console those who mourn in Zion. The word mourn in this verse does not mean only crying. It implies a deep grief and loss. And Zion means the house of God and the people of God. The place where God's people dwell. He says to give them beauty for ashes. I already just spoke of that, really. Ashes means devastation. Your life may have been devastated, but God wants to give you the beauty instead of the ashes. And the beauty, the word beauty is translated turban, crown, diadem. It is the ability of God to come, change your thinking, focus on Him, and His rule comes to your life. His kingdom authority comes to your life. Oh, somebody say amen. I've come to give you authority and rulership over anything that has devastated your life. Hallelujah. Say beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The spirit of heaviness represents oppression or depression. Discouragement may be a reasonable feeling regarding what you've been through. A reasonable feeling. However, when you let it sit there, it becomes a demonic stronghold in your life. But the Bible says, thank God, I have given you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody, Sissy, come back. Oh, you're not Sissy, you're Sal. Begin to be anointed. Hallelujah. I want to end with this. Point two and point three would be have realistic expectations. Point two would be that. Point three would be remember the grace of God. Remember the grace of God. I said earlier, you're going to have a fight. But you're going to win. And the grace covers this. You may think you're condemned. You may think you're accused. You are, but not by God. Your condemner and your accuser is the devil. But I want to talk about the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That heaviness is depression. It is oppression. You can become naturally depressed and then yet if you don't focus, let me just say this. Depression is not the result of your circumstances. Depression is a choice. Your circumstances cannot make you depressed. It can make you feel low. But when your focus changes and you start praising God in the middle of the darkness, oh, hallelujah. The entrance of His word bringeth light. And when you're praising Him, you're speaking His testimonies. You're speaking your covenant that you got from His word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Are you listening? Though your sins be as scarlet, I have washed you white as snow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the presence and in the house of the Lord forever. For He hath prepared a table for me in the midst of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. The darkness is subject to the light. The darkness is a subject in the kingdom of our God and His dear Son, who has translated us from the darkness into the kingdom of light. And the darkness is subject to His light. And the Bible says that praise is translated yada, And it means you stretch forth your hands. And as if the lightning of God's presence and testimony comes from your mouth. Listen, when you raise your hands, you've got your mouth open praising Him. Lift your hands up right now. Open your mouth and say, I praise you, Lord. I give you glory and honor and praise. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And while you're doing that, the light that comes from the Word of God is piercing the heaviness, piercing the depression, opening up the sky and saying, I cannot be depressed because I'm a child of the light. Now praise Him. Praise Him this morning. I praise you, Lord. I give you glory and honor and praise. Oh, I exchange the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to put it on. It's not going to put on you. You put on the garment in the middle of the circumstance. I don't focus on the circumstance. I lift my hands and I praise Him and I dispel the darkness. I shoot holes in the darkness every time I raise my hand. Every time I open my mouth, I praise. I praise you. My son will be healed. My child will be normal. My marriage will be resurrected. My finances shall arise. Oh, my body will obey God's word and be healed. Oh, I praise you this morning. I praise you this morning. I will not be discouraged.
Yes.
I will be encouraged. Courageous. Because when I walk, I praise Him. When I fall, I arise and I praise Him. I climb up into His lap and say, Daddy, Abba, Father God.
Yes.
And He cleans you and He preps you and He praises you into wholeness, into holiness, into purity, into devotion, into relationship, into maturity. And He says, look what my son, look what my daughter is becoming. And oh, I had it all planned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Go and recover all. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.